just captured in seven verses, just a short story, a little snippet here, but it's a short story that really has a very long view in mind. The short of it is this. Here you've got a story about a poor, blind, helpless man, name of Bartimaeus. That's the short story. That's what's happening here. And the long view of the story, simply this, that what this story reveals to us is that when we press in hard after God's grace, God doesn't just give us a thimbleful. That's not the heart of the Lord for us. It's not a thimbleful of his mercy and his grace. What God does is he releases a fountain that overflows of his power and his love in our lives. So let me tell you the story, just a little bit of the story here. Here's Jesus, and he's got his disciples, his followers, and they're leaving Jericho for that walk. It would be a short drive, but it's a long walk to Jerusalem. And three times along this walk, Jesus would say to his disciples, he says, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." Now you think of that. Here's your leader, here's your master, here's your teacher, and he keeps telling you, keeps getting in your face, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." It's like you can feel the tension. I mean, this worry, this anxiety, this perplexity, this confusion, it's like you could cut it with a knife, all of the alarm and all of the uncertainty. And as they are leaving Jericho to go on this trip to Jerusalem where Jesus is going to die, they see this blind beggar. Now, nothing unusual there. They probably saw blind beggars or other disabled, handicapped beggars all the way along that trip to Jerusalem. That's very commonplace. But right at that spot, at that moment, in that situation, with this case, God holds up. I really can't get over this, because God, I don't know that I even sometimes want to receive this, but God holds up this poor, blind, helpless beggar to me and to you, to us this morning, a model of what it means to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus is really the model disciple, the kind of person that Jesus calls us to be if we're going to be on the way. It's really just another word for saying, a follower of Jesus. We're to live our lives. Here's the gist of it. We are called by God to live our lives in the short span of time that we have. And I pray to God you get your 9 decades, okay? It may be less. But within that short span of time that we have, that we're able to live our lives with the same kind of measure, ongoingly, daily, the same kind of measure of openness to God that Bartimaeus did. Jesus is passing by. There's a commotion. So Bartimaeus, as it were, he grabs somebody by the sleeve and he says, "What's going on here? What's all the noise about? What's happening?" And he's told that it's Jesus. And he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, he may have been blind, poor, and powerless, but he knew his Old Testament scripture. He knew his Bible. And what he was doing right at that very point was connecting a promise of God in Isaiah 35 with Jesus. And he brought the two together. He brought Isaiah 35 together with this Jesus who was going by. Isaiah 35 talks about how one day a deliverer would come. One day there was going to be someone who would bring rescue, and this one would be the merciful one. This one would be the Son of David, and this person, in the words of Isaiah 35, verse 5, would open the eyes of the blind, unplug the ears of the deaf, and help the lame to leap like a deer. You can read that. Follow that up. That's what it says. Now, it would be putting it mildly to say that at that point, when Bartimaeus was told that this was Jesus, that he got excited. They may have danced at Canada Youth 2012, but I'm sure they didn't dance like Bartimaeus did at that point, because this man leaped. You can forget all about, I don't know if anybody here was down Super Crawl yesterday in Hamilton or not, but this is what you call super joy in Jericho. I mean, you think of it for a moment. What would happen here this morning if, contemplate this. What would happen if someone was so awakened with the joy of knowing the presence of God. And right now, they started to shout out at the top of their lungs. Now, that's not Oski Wee Wee because of 51 to 8 or anything, okay? No, no. This isn't that kind of happiness. That's mild. That's passing. That'll probably end next week. This is alive with a sense of the presence of God. What if someone started to make a noise here? Now, I get it. You know, we're a respectable, nice, watered-down congregation. And so what would we do? I don't think it's a big leap to say that we would do exactly what the disciples did in this story. You know, here we have people saying to him, these good, well-intentioned religious people, these followers, shh, quiet, this is church. Shh, keep it low. You don't do that. We're Presbyterians. Well, I don't know, we're Knox, whatever, you know. And here's the thing. These very well-intentioned people, they're trying to protect Jesus from this noisy, distracting, bothersome person who doesn't seem to know the meaning of the word, you got to be nice in church. You got to be nice when Jesus passes by. And they're trying to quiet him down. Now, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, call him to me. And it doesn't say this in the text, but I can picture. In essence, what Jesus is saying is that the needy people aren't the problem you think they are, Peter, James, and John. They're not the problem. You're the problem because you're trying to put a barrier between the people who need me most and me. Call them to me. Call them to me. And, you know, Bartimaeus, here he is. And get it again, he's poor, he's unpleasant, really. Probably doesn't have a lot of money for body odor and stuff like that. He just sits by the side of the road, okay? He's loud, he's rude, he's inappropriate, he's a beggar. He wouldn't be on your or my guess who's coming to dinner list. And if we heard that guess who's coming to church next Sunday, Bart, we might say, hey, dear, I think we should visit the relatives out of town this week, right? I don't want to sit beside someone like that. He wouldn't make that kind of list. And yet here he is, and he's portrayed for us as what it means to be a model disciple. What's going on? Well, it's clear for Jesus. I tell you, it's not all that clear for me in practice, believe me, but it's very clear for Jesus. Jesus says in another passage, he says this, it's the sick who need a doctor. It's the sick who need a doctor. That's what he says. It's people whose lives are kind of messy, maybe disordered, mixed up in a lot of confusion. You know, they've got minds that are, you know, out of whack in a lot of ways. They got hearts that are deeply deformed. They got lives that are just here and there and everywhere. They're the needy, and they know more than all the rest of you that they need some help. And so what does Jesus do? I mean, it's powerful. It says that Jesus stopped. In New Revised Standard, it says, Jesus stood still. Other ones say, Jesus stopped and said to Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? Now, that puts a whole different spin on what church is to be all about by the design and purpose of God. Let me say it. I might as well get it out. It's September. You know, it's early in the church year. If what you're looking for in this church here is a good, nice, quiet, respectable kind of congregation, church, don't come back next week. Because that's not what we're supposed to be. That's not the call of God in our lives. Nothing like that at all. You know, the church, by the call of God, is to be the society of needy people. People who know, people who get it, that they don't have it all together. You know, right now, I just want in my life by the Spirit of God, and I pray God would do it in your life too, to rip out and take away from us any sense of self-sufficiency. Any sense that we can fix ourselves, that we can fix others, that I'm okay, you're okay, and we're going to be the we're okay kind of group this year, is not the gospel. That's not God's call on our life together. We're to be the people like Bartimaeus who are quick to get to our feet, yeah, even in church, and say, Jesus, I need you. I really, really need you. Here's the amazing thing about Bartimaeus. I can't get over it. The measure of expectancy that he had. This man was confident that Jesus really could do something to change his life. There was no going through the motions. I mean, blind, poor, powerless Bartimaeus didn't jump to his feet and cry out and call out to Jesus in the way that he did because he just for the appearance sake. He knew this man could turn his life around. Nothing fake, nothing pious, nothing look at me and how nice I am in the externals of my life. You know, I kind of deserve this, Jesus. You got to give this to me. No, nothing like that at all. This was something that was a heart cry. It was something that was deep, deep in his spirit. That's what filled Bartimaeus with hope. And it filled him with such hope that he actually, and I see this as representative of everything that he hung on to and he clung to as security in his life. It says that he threw away his cloak. He threw that away, and he jumped to his feet, and he stood before Jesus. On Friday past, I was talking with Justice. I mentioned to you that Justice Muwanda was with us from Uganda. And I happened to mention to him the passage here in Scripture that I was going to be speaking from. And you know, the very first words, I just said Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, it's about Bartimaeus. And the very first words that Justice said to me, right at that point, just quietly, he uttered them, he said, Jesus stopped. I've hung on to that because I think, you know, there's something in those two words, or Jesus stood still, whatever translation you want to use. Life in Uganda is very different than, obviously, life in Canada. And there's a whole lot of people there, a whole lot more people in Uganda that are visibly on the outside, poor and needy, and they recognize from the outside what their need is on the inside as well. They get the large, very large importance of seeing that Jesus will stand still. That Jesus, God in the flesh, will actually stop for someone like them, for someone like me, for someone like you, and give us his full attention, will listen to us, and will offer us his love and his grace. Now, I know this doesn't come any easier because someone's got a reverent in front of their name or anything like that. It's hard for us. You know, there's a lot of clutter in our minds. There's a lot of idols in our hearts. There's all kinds of junk in our lives. You know, this, I can take care of myself. I can manage this. I can handle that. I'll fix it, all of that. Bartimaeus knew he couldn't fix it. Justice, he knew the situation that he faces in Uganda. He can't fix. He may be, quotes, the executive director of the International Needs Network in Uganda. He can't fix a thing. Jesus stopped. And Jesus focused, gave his full attention to Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, at that point, he just left everything that he was trusting in, leaning on in his life, and he said to Jesus, as it were, change my life. I want my sight. Change my life. Help me to see. Not many days after that encounter, Jesus, you know, he arrived in Jerusalem, and that was what we call Holy Week. And at the end of that, time stood still. And time stopped as Jesus hung on the cross and he died. He took into himself all of that clutter, all of that nonsense, all of those idols, all of that George can fix this, George can fix that kind of way of living. And he died to that. And he did with unfathomable love what I couldn't do for myself, you can't do for yourself. He reversed the curse. You know, here's the curse of the way that we have to live our lives, and what Jesus did is he reversed it. So we don't have to live out of that, and we get to see, and we get to hear, and we get to walk with new life and an openness to God who keeps stopping listening, helping, giving heed to us in our need. Friends, it's the, again, you know, nothing big here. It's the 16th of September, and, you know, we're getting ready as a congregation for another year of ministry in our region. Some of you may have holidays left, but, you know, most of us have used them up, and we're getting ready for another year of ministry, settling in here in Waterdown, in Flamborough, in Burlington, Dundas, Hamilton. Oh, I pray to God it will not be another just, you know, regular, stable kind of year. I really do. I mean, I truly do. Because this short story with the long view, it says to us, Knox, George, whatever your name is, I know your names, just won't say them out loud and embarrass you. Would you just be open to God? Would you just be open to God this year? So that when God stops, and you know that Jesus has stood still, and he says to you, you hear it, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You'll be able to turn and say to Jesus from the depth of your heart, change my life. Transform who I am. You know, we'll have nothing. Oh, we'll just have nothing to give to the communities that we live in of God until we, first of all, allow God to give us what he has in his heart for us. And that won't happen unless we're desperate on the inside. Well, there's a couple of things I'm desperate for on the outside, but I'm talking about the inside. Desperate on the inside, realizing we can do nothing for ourselves and that I need God, you need Jesus, we need Christ. I just want to encourage you this year as we're at the edge of it into September, moving to October and that, to do the Bartimaeus thing. Do the Bart thing, okay? Be open to God. And be willing to set aside everything you're trusting in, everything that you're leaning on, and press in. Abandon everything, all the pretense in your life, and begin to ask big from the inside. Begin to ask for yourself and your family and for this church. Begin to ask with depth, desperation, and then follow. I mean, just make that choice to follow. Follow in the way of Jesus and live with Jesus as your master, your teacher, your Lord. And let me tell you, your life will change, and our church will change, and step by step, God will use us as his agents of change in the community and communities that we live in. And I really don't think there could be anything more that I or that we could hope for in this year than that. Praise team, come forward, will you? We're going to sing about receiving God's blessing.